Have you ever been just scrolling? Maybe it's way too late at night, your defenses are down, you're looking for a gift, and you land on a product page that just feels wrong.
Oh, yeah. The digital garage sale vibe.
Exactly. That is the perfect way to describe it. It's that digital garage sale vibe. The lighting is slightly yellow.
Yeah, a bit dingy.
Right, dingy. And the background is a wrinkled bed sheet that they definitely didn't bother to iron.
Oh, I've seen that exact listing.
Right. And there's this immediate gut level reaction that just screams, do not give these people your credit card number.
Versus landing on a page that feels like a Gucci showroom. You know, where the lighting is crisp, the shadows are physically accurate.
It looks expensive.
Completely. The product is sitting on this gorgeous marble countertop in a sun-drenched room in Paris.
Right. And your instinctive thought as a shopper is usually, wow, this brand has a massive budget. You just assume there's a team of 20 people behind that one image.
Because historically, there was.
Yeah, exactly. But here is the question we are tackling in today's deep dive. Is that difference still just about money? Or has the game completely changed while we weren't looking?
It is definitely the latter. We are looking at a stack of research today that suggests the barrier to entry for those Gucci-level visuals has basically evaporated.
So today we are diving deep into the AI product photography revolution. And I know the word revolution gets thrown around a lot in tech.
Usually for a slightly faster toaster.
Ha, exactly, a toaster with Wi-Fi. But looking at these sources, it actually feels appropriate here. We are looking at how e-commerce sellers, we're talking everyone from solo Etsy creators to mid-sized brands, how they're using new tools to completely bypass the expensive photo studio.
And just to be clear right up front, we aren't just talking about retouching or, you know, slapping a filter on something. We're talking about generative AI that build entire worlds around a product.
Our mission for this deep dive is pretty specific. We want to explain how you can take a smartphone photo, just a regular snap from the phone in your pocket, and turn it into 50 professional platform-ready assets in under an hour.
Which still sounds impossible, but the math checks out.
It really does. We're going to break down the actual workflow, looking specifically at tools like Yourrender AI,
Good.
and we're going to test if the results actually hold up to scrutiny.
And this matters for anyone selling anything online right now because we are in the middle of what analysts in our source material are calling a visual content arms race.
An arms race. I mean, that sounds a bit intense for selling, you know, candles and sneakers.
It sounds dramatic, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But think about the stakes here. E-commerce is projected to hit $6.3 trillion in 2024.
Trillion with a T.
Right. But the most critical stat from our research stack, and this is the one you really need to pay attention to, is that 75% of online shoppers rely on product photos to make a decision.
Wow, 75%.
Yeah. If they can't see it clearly, or if it doesn't look trustworthy, they just don't buy.
Well, because visuals are literally the only way we can touch the product online. I can't pick up a sneaker, I can't smell the candle, I can only look at the pixels on my screen.
Precisely. And for a long time, there was this massive gap. We call it the visual privilege gap.
Visual privilege, I like that term.
It's very real. Big brands had the budgets for these massive lifestyle shoots. You know, paying a model to wear the watch at a real cafe in Paris. Small sellers had a white background if they were lucky.
Right, where the wrinkled bed sheet.
Exactly. And the data shows that products with lifestyle imagery see conversion rates that are 22 to 30% higher.
That is a huge margin. I mean, 30% more sales just from a better picture. That's the difference between a side hustle and a business that actually pays your rent.
It is. It's everything. And AI is closing that gap faster than anyone predicted.
So before we get to the actual solution, let's unpack the old way first. I think we really need to feel the pain of the traditional method to appreciate the fix here. We're calling this the $25,000 problem.
Which isn't an exaggeration if you have a decent-sized catalog of products.
No, not at all. I was looking at the breakdown in our notes. A single professional photo shoot ranges from $500 to $2,000 per day.
Just for the day rate.
Right. Now, imagine you are a brand launching 50 new products or SKUs for the upcoming season, if you do the math on that.
You're looking at $25,000 to $100,000.
It's wild.
And that is cash up front. That doesn't even account for the time or the logistics. Think about shipping 50 physical products to a studio in a different city, hoping they don't get smashed in transit.
Waiting for the photographer to edit them.
Yeah, the back and forth on revisions. It's a nightmare.
The research actually included some threads from Reddit that really highlight this frustration on the ground level. It's not just the money for these sellers, it's the sheer tediousness of it all.
Yeah, the Reddit quotes were eye-opening.
One seller said, outsourcing is $100 per product minimum. Another one, and I honestly felt this in my soul, they said, it took me 3 hours to light one necklace properly.
Oh, jewelry is a nightmare to photograph physically.
Really? Why is that?
Because you have reflections absolutely everywhere. You're trying to hide the camera itself in the reflection of the gold ring. It's highly, highly technical work.
That makes sense. And then there was this kicker quote from a seller. They said, Amazon hates my white background shots.
Because apparently white isn't always Amazon white.
Which we will definitely get into later.
I like it.
But it's a classic bottleneck. You have the product in your warehouse, you have the website built, but you can't launch because you're sitting around waiting on JPEGs.
Which is exactly why this market is shifting so aggressively. The AI photography market grew from roughly $450 million in 2024, and it's projected to hit $5 billion by 2035.
That is a massive compound annual growth rate.
It's explosive. In fact, AI image editing was the fastest growing software category of 2024. It was up 441%.
441%.
Yeah. And the reason is pretty simple when you look at it. AI is solving a mathematical impossibility for these businesses. It allows you to scale your visuals, producing hundreds of images without scaling your costs.
Okay, so let's get into the how. We promised a workflow at the start of the show. How do you go from a phone in your pocket to a professional catalog in 1 hour?
Right, let's break it down.
Based on the research, we've broken this down into 4 steps. Step one is the capture.
And the headline here is, put away the DSLR. You simply do not need it.
Okay, but wait, I have to push back on that a little bit. You can't just take a blurry photo on a messy desk, you know, with a half-eaten sandwich in the frame and expect the AI to just magically fix it, right? I mean, garbage in, garbage out.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yes. The mantra here is smartphone photos.
Smartphone photos.
Exactly. This first step takes about 15 minutes for a batch of 10 products. The key isn't the camera sensor anymore. It's the input quality. You need to use the pro mode on your phone to lock the focus. You want absolute clarity on the edges of your product.
And what about lighting for that smartphone snap? Do we need to buy a ring light, a softbox?
Keep it way simpler than that. Window light is your best friend here.
Really? Just a window?
Just a window. But here is the trick from the pros. Use a whiteboard. Literally just a piece of cheap foam core from an office supply store. Place your product near the window and put the whiteboard on the opposite side to bounce the window light back into the shadows.
Ah, so you're filling in the dark side of the object.
Exactly. You want even flat lighting. You do not want moody lighting yet.
Because the AI does the mood.
Right. The AI will add the mood later. If you give the AI hard shadows to start with, it fights against them trying to figure out what the actual shape of the object is.
Okay, so even flat lighting. And quantity. How many snaps are we talking per product?
Aim for 3 key angles per product. A front shot, a side profile, maybe a detail shot of the texture. And please, for the love of clarity, clean your lens.
Oh, the smudge factor.
It sounds so silly to mention on a deep dive like this, but a fingerprint on your phone lens creates a bloon or a haze.
Like a glowing effect.
Yeah. And to a human eye, it just looks a little soft. But to an AI that's trying to mathematically cut the object out of the background, that haze is a total disaster. It completely confuses the edge detection.
Got it. So clean the lens, use window light with a bounce board, simple background. I'm assuming don't shoot it on a heavily patterned rug.
Right. Contrast is key here. If you're shooting a white shoe, don't shoot it on a white bedsheet. Shoot it on something dark so the AI can see exactly where the shoe ends and the real world begins.
Okay, so we have our clean inputs. That took 15 minutes. Step 2 is upload. This is where we get into the tool mentioned heavily in the Research Your Render AI.
Yep, step 2 takes about 5 minutes.
And I have to ask about the specific engine name they use. Nano Banana Pro.
I know. It sounds like a smoothie ingredient.
It really does. It's memorable. I'll give them that. But what actually makes Nano Banana different from the 50 other AI tools I see aggressively advertised on my Instagram feed?
This brings up a really important distinction in the technology right now. There are a lot of tools out there, and you've probably used them, that are essentially just background removers.
Yeah.
They cut out your product like a pair of digital scissors, and they paste it onto a stock photo.
Right, the sticker look.
Yeah.
Where the product looks like it's hovering about an inch above the table because there's no shadow interaction. It just looks off.
Exactly. It looks fake because the light hitting the product doesn't match the light in the new background. The advantage of a tool like Your Render, and specifically this Nano Banana Pro engine, is that it performs what's called light wrapping and perspective matching.
Okay, light wrapping, break that down for us. What is the AI actually doing?
It analyzes the 3D geometry of your product from that simple flat-lit photo. Then, when it generates the new background, let's say you ask for a sunset beach, it actually relikes your product to match that exact sunset. It adds the correct cast shadows on the sand. It reflects the orange light onto the side of your product. It integrates the object into the pixels rather than just pasting it on top like a sticker.
So it's understanding the physics of the scene, not just merging two pictures together.
Precisely. And it offers 8 specialized modes, things like lifestyle, social creative, pure creation. So you aren't just typing a prompt into the void hoping for the best.
One feature that really stood out in the notes for me under step 2 was multi-product scenes. Why is that such a big deal for sellers?
This is huge for bundling. Most of your basic AI tools can only handle one object at a time. But if you sell a skincare set, you know, cleanser, a toner, and a moisturizer, you want them all in one shot to increase your average order value.
Right.
Your render actually supports up to 13 reference images in a single generated scene.
That is a game changer. So I can upload 3 separate photos of 3 separate bottles taken at different times, and it composes them together perfectly on a luxury bathroom counter.
Correct. It creates the group shot without you ever having to physically balance them or light them together.
Okay, so we've snapped the photos, we've uploaded them to your render. Now comes step 3, generation.
The magic phase.
Yeah. This is where the multiplication happens. The math in the outline is honestly impressive. If you have 10 products and you generate 5 variations for each, you suddenly have 50 professional images.
And the research says this step takes about 30 minutes of computing time.
Right. But let's talk about the strategy here. What should a seller actually be generating with those 5 variations?
You need to think about your entire sales funnel. A modern funnel isn't just the same image repeated 5 times. First, you need the studio white background. That is for Amazon compliance, and it's non-negotiable.
Then lifestyle shots.
Yes. Lifestyle shots are for Shopify, Etsy, your own website. This is where you create that emotional connection with the buyer. If you sell hiking boots, you need to see them on a rocky trail in the mud, not just floating in a white void.
Make them look capable.
Exactly.
And then social creative.
That's for Instagram and TikTok. These need to be punchier, maybe more colorful, higher contrast stuff designed specifically to stop the scroll.
And finally, seasonal. This was the part of the research that completely blew my mind.
Yeah, this is the hidden superpower of AI. We call it context switching.
Context switching.
Imagine taking your standard Campbell product photo. Let's say it's August, so you generate a bright, sunny beach background for it.
Right.
But suddenly it's November. In the old days, you'd have to book a whole new photo shoot to make it look wintry. Now, you don't reshoot the candle. You just take that same original photo and reprompt the AI background to be a cozy fireplace, pine branches, soft winter light.
You're just recycling the exact same asset, but refreshing the context for the consumer's current mindset.
Exactly. It keeps your feed and your store looking fresh all year round without the cost of a quote-unquote holiday shoot.
That brings us to a feature called the Scene Builder. The research mentions this is a free tool within their ecosystem. Is this basically just a text box where you type what you want?
It's a bit more advanced than that. Scene Builder bridges the gap between a raw photo and a polished creative ad. You describe the scene like luxury bathroom counter, morning light, marble texture, but it also gives you physical controls for the composition.
The source material says this enables product launches 30 times faster than traditional methods.
30 times?
Yeah.
And it allows you to fail faster, too.
What do you mean by fail faster?
That's the underrated part of all this. You can test a beach scene versus a mountain scene for your new sunglasses and see what actually clicks with your audience without booking 2 flights and 2 models to go shoot it. You're A/B testing creative concepts for actual pennies.
That's brilliant. Okay, so we have our 50 beautiful images, but we can't just dump them all online blindly. Step 4 is export and platforms.
The compliance phase.
Right. It sounds boring, but I guess this is where the money is actually made.
It's the boring but essential part. One size definitely does not fit all when it comes to e-commerce platforms.
Let's break down the platform playbook provided in our sources, starting with the big boss, Amazon.
Amazon is famously strict. They require 2,000 by 2,000 pixels. But the big thing, and this is where so many beginners get their listings flagged, is the background. It must be pure white.
And when you say pure white, you mean technically pure.
I mean RGB 255, 255, 255.
Okay, for those of us who aren't graphic designers, what does RGB 255 actually mean?
It's the digital hex code for absolute pure whiteness. If your background is, say, RGB 240, it might look white to your human eyes, but it looks light gray to the computer.
And Amazon cares about that.
Deeply. Amazon's algorithm might actually suppress your listing because it thinks it's a low-quality amateur image.
Wow.
Also, that 2000 by 2000 high resolution is mandatory because it enables the zoom function on the product page.
Right. If I hover over an image on Amazon and it doesn't zoom in, I immediately assume it's a cheap product.
Exactly. If customers can't zoom in to see the stitching on the leather or the texture of the fabric, your conversion rate drops immediately.
Okay, what about Shopify? Are they as strict?
Shopify is a lot more chill. They recommend 2048 by 2048 pixels. But here, lifestyle images actually often perform much better than pure white backgrounds. Because on Shopify, you're building a distinct brand.
Make it look like a boutique.
Exactly. Also, for Shopify, they really prefer the WebP format.
WebP? I've seen that file extension when I try to save an image and it annoys me, so I usually try to avoid it.
Yeah.
What is it?
Huh. I get that. But it's actually a modern file format that provides really high visual quality at a much smaller file size than your standard JPEG or PNG.
Why does file size matter so much?
Speed. If you upload massive 5 megabyte PNG files to your store, your mobile site loads like absolute molasses.
Ah, and people just leave.
Exactly. A slow page load kills your SEO ranking and massively increases your bounce rate. It is a silent conversion killer. Mm. You want all your images compressed to under 500 kilobytes.
Got it. Speed is money. Next up.
Etsy.
Etsy is all about the vibes. 2000 by 2000 pixels again, but here, do not use a plain white background for your main image.
Really? Never. Unless you want to look completely sterile. On Etsy, lifestyle is king. The very first image is your listing thumbnail, and it needs to stand out in a massive sea of other handmade goods. It needs to look warm, inviting, and human.
And finally, Instagram.
For Instagram, vertical is the name of the game. You want a 4:5 aspect ratio, which translates to 1080 by 1350 pixels.
Why not just a standard square?
Screen real estate. A 4:5 vertical image takes up physically more space on the user's phone screen than a square image as they scroll past.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, that extra 20% of screen space is free attention. You have to take it.
Smart. So we've done the work. We've captured, uploaded, generated, and exported. Now let's talk about the price tag. We mentioned the $25,000 problem earlier. What is the new way cost?
It's honestly staggering. Mm. Traditional cost is easily $100 plus per image when you factor in the photographer, the studio time, and the editing.
Right.
The cost, using a tool like your render, it comes out to approximately 24 cents per image based on their credit usage.
24 cents? That's just a rounding error.
It really is. And if you look at their subscription model, a starter plan is around 19 euros a month for roughly 83 images. That is literally the price of a couple of coffees for an entire season's visual catalog.
Okay, the math is undeniable, but does it actually work in practice? Or does it just end up looking kind of cheap? I want to look at the case studies from their research because these were the real aha moments for me.
Yeah, the real world results are wild.
Let's start with Maya Rodriguez on Etsy.
This is a great story because it's just so relatable. She sells handmade jewelry, and she was using her smartphone to take photos, you know, kitchen table stuff, bad flash glare, weird shadows, the works.
The classic garage sale vibe we talked about.
Exactly. She switched over to using AI lifestyle shots, placing her jewelry in these beautifully lit luxury boutique settings.
And the result?
Her monthly revenue tripled.
Tripled.
She went from doing $2,800 a month to $8,500 in just 90 days. Same exact jewelry. Same smartphone camera taking the base photo. Just a totally different context generated by the AI. She looked like a premium brand, so people were finally willing to pay premium prices.
That is genuinely life-changing money for a small solo seller. Then there was Sarah Chen. She's a fashion startup founder.
Right. She saved about $40,000 on photography for a 45 product launch. But more importantly for her business, her conversion rate went up 23%.
Incredible. And the third one was TechFlow. This one really shows the scale of what's possible for bigger brands.
Right. TechFlow sells electronics, and they used AI to localize their images. This is just brilliant.
Localize? Like translating the text?
No, visually localizing the environment. They sell in 12 different global markets. So for the Japan market, they use AI to make the background look like a minimalist Japanese home. In the U.S. market, the background looks like a typical spacious suburban U.S. home.
Oh, so even the little details like the plug sockets in the wall, they match the target country.
Exactly. It feels native to the shopper. They saved $180,000 doing this, and they launched in all 12 markets simultaneously. That kind of visual localization is something you just couldn't do before without a massive, massive studio budget. It creates a highly personalized experience at scale.
Now, we've talked a lot about your render specifically today, but obviously, why this specific tool? Because the market is super crowded. You've got PhotoRoom, Pebble Woot. I see ads for these constantly.
Oh, totally. PhotoRoom is great for basic background removal, absolutely. But your render seems to be really carving out a niche in the high-end generation space. The research highlights a few key differentiators.
Right.
The really big one involves video.
Video generation, like from a still photo.
Yes, they are currently integrating massive video models like Veo 3.1 and Kling 2.6. As we all know, TikTok and Reels are completely dominating consumer attention right now.
Static images are definitely starting to feel a bit dead on social media.
Agreed. Being able to turn a still image of your shoe into a short, dynamic motion video where the studio light moves across the leather or the background shifts subtly, that is the next frontier. And your render is integrating that directly into the workflow.
That is a massive advantage. And the notes also mention something called brand AI. What problem does that solve?
It addresses the most common complaint about generative AI, which is consistency.
Oh, right, where one image looks like a cartoon and the next one looks hyper-realistic.
Exactly. You generate 10 pictures, and they all look like they were shot by 10 different photographers.
Wow.
Brand AI is a system they built to enforce a consistent look and feel across all your batches, so every image looks like it belongs to your specific brand identity.
That's incredibly useful. Plus, they support 7 languages in their interface, which is pretty rare. Most of these tools are just English only.
And we really shouldn't overlook the free tools they offer, things like the Scene Builder, Animation Director, and Chat Freestyle. It allows people to just dip their toes in, try the tech out, without having to enter a credit card right away, which lowers the barrier to entry significantly.
Okay, we are painting a very rosy picture here, but I want to address the elephant in the room. Trust.
The big one.
As a shopper, do I feel tricked if I eventually find out the photo was AI generated? Is there an uncanny valley problem happening
This
here?
is the grand paradox of our time right now. The research shows that 71% of shoppers actually cannot distinguish between a real photograph and a high-quality AI product image.
71%. That is way higher than I thought it would be.
It is. But, and here's the paradox, simultaneously, 67% of people say they want brands to actively disclose if AI was used.
So it's basically, I can't tell the difference, but please tell me anyway.
Exactly. However, here is the absolute bottom line for sellers. High-quality images drive 94% higher conversion rates, regardless of how they were created.
So quality ultimately trumps origin.
In terms of actual sales, yes, undeniably. And interestingly enough, better AI images actually reduce return rates.
Really? I would have thought the exact opposite. I'd assume AI images might mislead people, making a cheap product look way better than it actually is, leading to more angry returns.
That's the fear, right? But if the product itself is represented accurately, meaning the AI doesn't change the physical shape, the logo, or the stitching of your sneaker, the enhanced context actually helps the buyer.
Oh, I see.
Better lighting and clearer details help customers truly see what they are buying. The data shows product returns dropping by 22% because the visuals were simply clearer and easier to understand.
That actually makes perfect sense. It's not about faking the product, it's about fixing the terrible lighting that usually obscures the product.
Exactly. You aren't changing the shoe, you're just upgrading the room the shoe is sitting in.
So, if the machine is doing all the heavy lifting, the lighting, the background, the composition, what is the human actually doing? Are photographers just completely obsolete now?
No, not obsolete, but the role is fundamentally shifting. It's no longer about knowing your camera's aperture, your shutter speed, or how to set up a complex three-point lighting rig. The skill is shifting toward prompt engineering and visual strategy.
You're basically becoming a creative director.
Yes. You aren't just the camera operator anymore. You are the one deciding, hey, this specific shoe needs to be seen on a rainy street in London to convey durability to my target demographic.
And then you just guide the AI to execute that vision.
Right. The real skill is in the idea itself, not just the technical execution of the photo.
It's a huge shift from technical skill to creative vision.
Which arguably democratizes creativity even more.
Yeah.
You don't need to own a $5,000 camera setup to have a million-dollar idea anymore.
So let's bring this all home. We have covered a lot of ground today. If you are listening to this and you have a product to sell, the workflow is clear.
Yep, it's 4 simple steps. Snap a clean, flat-lit photo with your phone, remembering to clean your lens. Upload it to a tool like YourRender that handles the complex light wrapping. Generate your variations. You need that white background for Amazon, lifestyle for Shopify, seasonal for promos. And finally, export with the correct specs for each platform.
And the value proposition here is just undeniable. 50
yeah.
pro photos in 1 hour. The price of a cup of coffee versus the price of a used car for a traditional photo shoot.
It's hard to argue with those economics.
Yeah.
It literally allows small players to look like industry giants.
Before we sign off, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final provocative thought. Earlier, we talked about how big brands used to win simply because they had the budget to look expensive.
Right. We call that visual privilege.
Exactly. Well, if that privilege is completely gone, if a solo creator working in their garage can produce visuals that look just as expensive as Gucci or Apple for mere pennies, what becomes the new differentiator?
That is the big question going forward. When perfect visuals are just a commodity, when everyone looks incredibly professional online, I think the pendulum swings right back to the story.
The story.
Yeah. It won't be enough to just have a pretty picture anymore. You'll need a picture that tells a compelling, authentic story about why your product actually matters. The pixels are cheap now. The meaning is still expensive.
The playing field is level, so the game is about who tells the best story. I love that.
Exactly. The tools get easier, but the true creativity gets harder.
For everyone listening, if you want to test this out yourself, the research mentioned there is a free demo on your render. It is definitely worth trying just to see this technology in action, even if you're just selling your old couch online.
It is genuinely fascinating stuff to play with.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. We'll catch you on the next one.